Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, November the 19th. And we're going to start with a story that we had all been hoping to report on for a number of days. A teenage boy who went missing from Medway has been found safe. 16-year-old James Gibbons hadn't been seen since last Saturday, so 9 days ago, and was spotted heading towards Woodland near his home in Cuxton. Well, his disappearance sparked a huge volunteer and community response. Reporter Sean McPoe joins me now. Sean, can you tell us a bit about James and the circumstances surrounding his disappearance?
So James Gibbons is a 16-year-old schoolboy who lives in Cuxton near Rochester. He went missing at around 1 p.m. Last Saturday, so 9 days ago. Police released a still of a CCTV image at the time showing him heading towards Woodlands, which is right next to where he lives. And since then, there's been a massive search operation underway to try and find him. And thankfully, he was found safe last night.
And give us a bit more detail about the scale of the operation to find him.
There really was a massive effort to try and find the youngster, including from police, Kent Search and Rescue, as well as loads of volunteers who dedicated their own time to try and find him. Just speaking about Kent Search and Rescue in particular, they described the Herculean effort that they went through to assist the investigation. There were 69 teams across the area which searched over 1,500 acres. They volunteered more than 1,100 hours of their own time, and they trekked for a massive 665 kilometres, as well as being assisted by the likes of search dogs and Southeast 4x4 response units.
Now, police announced on their socials last night that James had in fact been found and was back with his family. Do we know any details where or how he was discovered?
At the moment, we don't really know much more about where or how James was located. Police have just said that they are very thankful for all the support they received in the investigation, and the family just wants some privacy at the moment to obviously go through what's happened and collect themselves.
Sean, thank you ever so much. Police have thanked everyone who was involved in the search for James, and hundreds of you have been commenting on our story on this on Facebook. Susan says the relief is palpable. Every mother in the district has been holding their breath for James and his family. Such a great result. Dan has added excellent news for the young lad and his family. A massive well done to everyone who was involved trying to find him. Well done to Kent Police for not giving up. Happy days. Jackie says, what a huge relief. I hope he learns just how much he's cared about and loved by so many. And Sharon ends by saying, thank goodness, so relieved for his family.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and farmers from across Kent are joining a rally in London to protest over changes to inheritance tax. From April 2026, farms worth more than £1 million will have to pay a 20% levy. Campaigners say it'll lead to food shortages, an increase in prices and destruction of the rural economy. Well, Weald MP Katie Lamb has visited local dairy farmer Peter Sargent in Biddenden.
These changes that are now coming in, that have been announced in the budget, what do you think that they'll mean for you here?
You know, it's just added debt.
Yeah.
Well, that's one option, added debt to a family farm that can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know, we are, most years, we are making very slim margins, yeah. to provide food for the nation. So we're faced with either a massive debt that we can't afford, which means then we've got to then effectively sell 20% of our land.
Yeah.
And then all that does is just, as time goes on,
give you less land to cover that.
That's what you've got to realise. We're never going to make. I'm third generation farmer here.
Yeah.
My daughter here's fourth.
Yeah.
We'll never realise that capital, that as asset. We'll never, yeah. Well, we're not going to, you know, sell it and then, you know,
no.
Swan off to Barbados or wherever.
No, you no.
You know, yeah, we are custodians of that land,
yeah.
Until we pass it on to the next generation,
yeah.
To produce food. By doing that, we provide jobs for the rural economy, we employ three people.
Yeah.
You know, if we have to go in time, those jobs will then go.
Yeah, that training will go, the knowledge will go.
Exactly that. Because we can't afford to have, you know, to be able to support those.
Yeah.
They're employees, obviously. Yeah. We don't have the work, we don't have the money.
This is devastating for farms across Kent. The changes that the government have proposed in the budget to inheritance tax, to agricultural property relief and to business property relief will be existential. A lot of the farmers that I'm speaking to essentially say, why would we bother? Why would we bother to do all of the hard work that we do growing the nation's food for this?
And with this inheritance tax change, do you fear there could be more homes on our countryside?
My great worry is essentially that the countryside effectively ceases to exist, and certainly somewhere like Kent, where because of the proximity to London and because not enough houses are being built in London and people are being pushed out of the city and coming to live here, that the incentive will become to sell off the countryside for housing. And of course, people need somewhere to live, but our rural way of life is integral to our country, and it is beyond price, and once it's lost forever.
Katie was also speaking there to Gabriel Morris from our local Democracy Reporting Service. The Prime Minister insists the changes will only affect a small number of farming families. A Thanet man is starting more than 3 years in jail after another man died following an argument outside a takeaway. Rushko Kurtev threw a chair at his victim, which caused serious head injuries. This is the moment he was arrested.
Hello, mate, you're right. What's your name?
Arashko.
Sorry, Arashko.
Arashko, mate. My name's Sergeant Harris. You well, by the way.
I've sent some information related to me over the control room that allegedly you're potentially our suspect for what's just happened out there, okay? Yeah. So the time is 14:17, and at this time you're under arrest and suspicion of causing GBH with intent to cause serious grievous bodily harm. Do you like to say anything that may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned? Something you may write on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
The 32-year-old from Park Avenue in Birchington later admitted manslaughter after the man died in hospital. A man's been charged with murder following the death of an 81-year-old woman in Bexley Heath. Carol James was found with serious injuries at a property on Dunwich Road last Friday and died at the scene. Brian James, who's also 81 and from the same road, is due in court tomorrow. A Deal woman who left a boyfriend with permanent scars following an attack has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard Nicole Lawrence was drunk when she bit her victim and threw shards of a broken mirror. The 28-year-old from Cavill Square admitted ABH and has been ordered to do 100 hours of unpaid work. And a Rochester man's due in court over an alleged inappropriate relationship with a prison worker. Jordan McSween is serving life for murdering Zara Alina as she walked home from a night out in East London in 2020. The 31-year-old has failed to appear for previous hearings. A provisional trial date's been set for April 2026.
Kent Online reports.
A gun smuggler who was caught bringing weapons into the UK through the port of Dover has been jailed. Gerard Dagnall had renewed his passport specifically to travel to Belgium in July and claimed he thought they were antiques. The 33-year-old from Walton in Liverpool has been locked up for 8 years and 3 months. A sitting-born sex offender has been sent back to prison after images of children were found on his phone. Stephen Smith was jailed in 2022 and had to stick to strict rules when he was released. The 44-year-old from Peregrine Drive was arrested in May and has been locked up for a year. A suspected drug dealer's due in court after what's thought to be cocaine and heroin was found in a car near Ashford. Police stopped the vehicle on the M20 last Friday. A 42-year-old man from Orpington has been charged. Now, next today, we're going to hear from a Ukrainian woman who moved to Kent when the war broke out and has expressed her gratitude for the UK's support. Margarita lives in Canterbury and has spoken to us as we mark 1,000 days since the start of the conflict with Russia. She says it will only come to an end with more support from the international community.
It appears that democracy is weak and international law is proven ineffective in preventing further bloodshed. We had a feeling that the world has just been watching us as an aggressor continues to commit daily atrocities. And yet, still afraid of further escalation. You know, we are fed up with democratic leaders stating we will support Ukraine for as long as it takes. But the question is, how long is as long as it takes? How many more lives of innocent people, children, newborns must be sacrificed? Kursk incursion proved that all possible red lines were crossed long time ago, that nothing left to be afraid of. Escalation, where else to escalate? We are coming in Ukraine close to a potential point of no return. Our resources, human, emotional, and material, are rapidly draining. The day before yesterday, more than 200 missiles were hit, were sent on people's head just for one night. Isn't it terrorism? We ask, what more needs to happen before the world acknowledges the urgency of our situation? You know, I'm trying to be optimistic, but it's really difficult. It's been already 1,000 days of this genocidal war. And I would like to ask everyone who's listening right now to take a moment and look outside your window. What do you see? People walking by, children smiling, life goes on. Now just imagine missiles falling in that very space. Difficult to imagine, isn't it? But this has been the grim reality for Ukraine. It's been happening every day. Just yesterday in Odessa, dead bodies lined the streets with 10 lives lost and about 50 injured, and of whom may not survive. So this is what happening every day in Ukraine.
Margarita was chatting to Kate there. Well, today the UK government has announced another £7.5 million in military aid for Ukraine.
Kent Online reports.
Police have been called to reports of violence at a Christmas light switch on in Kent. A shop window was smashed and bottles reportedly thrown at performers during the event in Sittingbourne High Street. Organisers have described the behaviour as disgusting. A man who controlled a Kent woman's life, leaving her in fear and isolated, has been jailed. A court heard how Andrew Wilson insisted she deleted social media contacts, wore certain clothes, and controlled where she could go. The 29-year-old, who used to live in Brompton Close in Brighton, has been locked up for 7 years. Now, we're being warned of cold and icy conditions across Kent over the next few days. A yellow cold weather health alert has been issued for the whole of the county, with authorities warning there could be a risk to life for vulnerable people. Temperatures are expected to dip below freezing some nights this week. The alert is in place until Saturday evening. Next, an Ashepi woman is calling for the government to ban the sale of fireworks to the general public after recent celebrations caused her dog to have a stroke. Caris Clayton lives in Halfway and says 5-year-old Lissa was a mess after an unexpected display on November the 9th. Well, Caris had to make the heartbreaking decision to have Lissa put down due to the poor quality of life she would have had. The 25-year-old has now started a petition and wants fireworks to only be used in organised, regulated displays that have safety measures in place. Caris has been speaking to reporter Jo Crosley.
On Saturday, the fireworks went off and they were loud. They gave us no warning. They were like show grade level loud with no warning whatsoever. And they were really close. And she was a mess, was pacing around, was panting lots, was hiding behind my other dog, Toby. I've just never seen her like this. It was always Toby that was the scared one, not her. And then on the Sunday, we noticed she couldn't even get up on the bed. She just didn't seem herself, hadn't been to the toilet, was refusing to eat. And we took her to the vet thinking, oh, there's something really wrong. The emergency vet did loads of tests and concluded that it was neurological, and they think it was a stress-induced stroke caused by the fireworks. And then on the Monday morning, she completely lost her use of her legs, her towel, completely paralysed, still hadn't been to the toilet. And the vet kind of suggested but didn't tell us that the chance of survival and quality of life was completely gone, and the kind thing to do would be to say goodbye. So we had to make that hard decision.
Yeah, obviously a hard decision.
Yeah.
Just tell me a little bit about how you feel about it all.
Well, I'm a very hopeful person. I was like, in January my cat was shot and he survived, and I thought, she's going to survive, she's super strong. And yeah, so I looked for wheelchairs for her, thinking I can deal with a paralysed dog. Yeah, and then when that reality didn't come true, part of me couldn't believe it. Like, part of me was still like, oh, she's just asleep. The vet's going to make her better, even obviously after she had passed. And I kind of held on to that, but I also felt really empty.
What little things do you miss about this stuff?
There's lots of things about her. She was a very chatty girl, always let us know she was there, cuddle with the cat. And she did this really cute thing where when someone would go, dinner's ready, she'd come and let everyone know and go ruff, 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 to let everybody know. And yeah, on Tuesday night, Mum went, dinner's ready. Nobody heard. No one come to get us. And it's just little things that you wouldn't even think. Like most people are like, oh, your dog's chatting again, it's being so loud. But they're little things that you do miss.
Of course. And you've obviously started up a petition.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
And so when part of the grieving process, I was just really angry and I wanted to do something to try and help it so she didn't die in vain. And I couldn't really think of what I can do because obviously she had passed. And then the idea just popped into my head. It's always been something I believed in, but now it's personal to me. So I'm fighting. I think fireworks should not be sold to the general public. They're dangerous. We've got veterans and they've been going off on Remembrance Day. We've got people with PTSD, like learning disabilities, obviously all animals like Lissa and wildlife and all the birds and everything that's migrated.
And obviously you've seen some behaviour changes in your dog as well, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, he's just completely broken. He's looking around the house for her. Every time we leave the house, our then agoraphobic dog tries to get in the car with us and go with us, thinking we're picking her up. He looks around all the places. Like when we first got here, he looked around to see if she was here. He's just pining in the room. He's got such sad eyes. His ears are droopy. His tail's tucked between his legs. He doesn't follow us around as much anymore. We have to physically call him, whereas before he was stuck to us, followed us everywhere we'd go. He's still eating like normal, but he's not coming out begging for more. Like, he was always a very hungry dog, always beg for more food. And now he's like, no, I've just feed me my dinner and I'm done.
You can find out how you can sign that petition by heading to the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Passengers have been telling us what they think about a new £34 million bus route in Dover. Fast Track is designed to provide a more reliable service connecting Whitfield, Dover Town Centre and Dover Priory Station. The idea was to have electric buses, but they won't be ready until next summer. Well, reporter Sam Lennon was on board the first service.
This is Sam Lennon from Kent Online. I've just finished the first ever journey on the Fast Track bus service to from Dover Priory Station to Whitfield. It was a very quick and straightforward journey at a cost of just £2, which is the standard bus fare at the moment till New Year's Eve. In this stage, the journey didn't go through a contraflow at Pentonster Road, but it's clearly the work there's not finished yet. But I was with five other passengers, and those I spoke to said it was a good idea to have the service. It would encourage people away from their cars and so on, and it was provided a good link between the centre of Dover and Whitfield, which is fast increasing in population.
Head to the website to see pictures of the route. Now, a rare fungi has been found at a nature reserve in Kent. Lion's mane, which is thought to have medicinal properties, was spotted growing on a tree at a wildlife site in Canterbury. We're told it's around the size of a football and will play a vital role in the woodlands ecosystem. Davina McCall's said to be recovering well from brain surgery to remove a benign tumour. The TV presenter's partners posted on social media thanking fans for their well wishes and support. He says there's been mega progress in the star's recovery in the past 24 hours. And a Kent veteran who took part in the D-Day landings is celebrating his 100th birthday. Peter Smoothie from Herne Bay returned to Normandy to mark the 80th anniversary of the military operation. After the war, he ran a pub in the county.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and the draw's been made for the third round of the FA Trophy, with just two Kent sides left in the competition. Ebbsfleet will play Sutton United, while Sittingbourne will take on Enfield Town. The ties will be played on December the 7th. On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu's playing in the semi-finals of the Billie Jean King Cup later. Britain are taking on Slovakia after beating defending champions Canada on Sunday. And we'll find out today if Maidstone's Alessia Russo's in the England squad for their next two internationals. The Lionesses take on the USA at Wembley at the end of November and face Switzerland at Sheffield United's ground next month. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.